I'm Nikki Nolan, and this is Matter of Life and Debt, a show about people in the United States and their student debt. Today's episode, All Debt, No Degree. I met Alicia at my former job, and we were both designers and became quick friends. Our misery of our student debt really bonded us together, you know, good old trauma bond. I was toying around with the idea of making a podcast back then. That was in 2018, which is when this episode was recorded. I talked with Alicia, who went to college but due to circumstances never got her degree and ended up with a huge amount of debt. This is her story.
My name's Alicia. I'm a designer. I accrued $110,000 in student loans, never graduated, and paid off $50,000.
Has that hit your principal balance? What is your balance now?
Oh, I'm not quite sure. That's not how I think about it.
Oh, wow.
I only do it by monthly payments, and I haven't consolidated them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I have three different. I have a private loan.
Mm-hmm.
I have two private loans. I guess if you consider Sallie Mae a private loan.
I don't actually know. Maybe it's a public loan that is privately held.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. So you have three loans.
I have, yes. So I have one that's the government Perkins and all mm-hmm. that stuff. One that is Discover Bank, which is a private loan.
Okay.
And then a Sallie Mae. So I have three.
Do they have different interest rates?
They have different interest rates.
Okay.
The most I owe is through Sallie Mae and through this... the private bank.
Why did you decide to go private versus public?
Literally because I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, apparently I need $40,000 for this semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how do I get that money? And so I just put in an application. I looked at Google which ones were the lowest rates.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Discover had a semi-low rate.
Do you know what the rate is on that?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
I do auto payments.
Yeah.
So I don't even know, really. I don't really keep up with it. I just know that around $1,000 a month. But I'm also terrible with my finances, so
yeah,
I should probably be better about knowing what I'm paying and stuff.
Have you done anything besides just you got the loans and you're paying them off? You said you haven't refinanced or done anything
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Well, I just assume my credit is shit, so I don't really think about doing that.
Why do you think your credit's shit?
Oh, because I know it's shit because there were a few years after I dropped out that I didn't have a job.
Mm.
So I was just, hadn't gone to school. I didn't go back to school because I was terrified about having to pay more money for it. Mm. And then I started getting these calls about paying these loans off. And I was like, I don't have $500 a month to pay these things
off,
or even $300 or any of it. So, because I was working as a server at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, I only have money to pay my rent.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I didn't start paying it until I moved out to San Francisco. And I was just always terrified about, like, loan sharks coming out to get me and, like, murdering me or something.
Oh, my God. I can't. Yeah. So, you just sort of got the loans and then you were just, I can't do it. So, you just ignored it.
Yeah, I just ignored it for a while. And then, so, that's why... I know that my credit is shit because I just ignored it for 2 years. I was just hanging up calls from mysterious numbers constantly. I got letters.
Oh my God.
It's bad.
Oh, well, sounds like you're back on track. Wait, so you said you didn't start paying them until you moved here.
I'm going to ignore this until I have to do something about it.
I think so many people do that. A lot of people I've talked to, I was talking with this one woman and she goes, I just can't even talk to anybody about it. Every time I talk about my loans, I just get angry.
Yeah. I feel angry, but also ashamed because I feel I should have known better, but I just was, I'm just gonna, it wasn't really money to me at the time. It was just, this is a number that I have to pay off every semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to somehow get $40,000.
Yeah.
The harder part too for me was my parents were going through a divorce and it was a very costly divorce. And so my dad had gone in bankruptcy. And he also was getting he got his doctorate at the same time.
Oh, while he was going through bankruptcy, he got a doctorate?
Sorry, while I was going to undergrad,
he
was getting his doctorate. Or maybe it was, he graduated a little bit before maybe my sophomore year of college.
Okay, so he had nothing. Your family couldn't help you.
Yeah, and my mom she sort of works paycheck to paycheck, so she's busy paying her rent. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have grandparents that I talk to frequently, and I don't think they're in a place to help me out either. So I have an aunt that I've spoken to maybe once.
Oh, okay.
And my dad actually had to ask her to co-sign my loans because I didn't have anybody to co-sign Or, I mean, my parents couldn't really co-sign for me.
Yeah.
So that sucked. That was also a shitty part of my student loan situation, was that I didn't have anybody to co-sign. I've heard this thing about how chefs, when they go home, they don't want to cook dinner for their family because they've been cooking all day.
Yeah.
My dad, because he's a teacher and because he's also going through this stuff, student loan stuff, he wasn't super helpful. He's still figuring it out. So yeah. He was like, I don't have any advice for you.
I don't know how do we fix this?
There's nothing.
It feels like there's nothing to do. It's just such a huge problem.
Well, especially, I feel like with my parents, they weren't money savvy. I think we lived maybe lower income for a very long time. And saving money wasn't an option for us. I knew going into college that there was no bank of money for me. I was going to rely heavily on financial aid.
Yeah.
So, but that requires, I feel like, parents who know how to fill out all those forms and what financial aid places to apply to send forms to.
Yeah.
All this. I didn't even know what FAFSA was.
Yeah.
And I remember my school, I was lucky that my guidance counselor was really adamant about filling out FAFSA and doing all these things. But if that person didn't exist, I don't think I would have.
What made you decide to go to school?
I think it's just because I thought that that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, my school was pretty competitive.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a nerdy school, high school.
Yeah.
And so we've been talking about college since middle school and taking PSATs and SATs and all that stuff. So I knew that going to college was an expectation. I just didn't think about how I would go or the financial side of it. I didn't think that I was like, if so many people are going to college, it has to have been figured out.
Yeah.
I'll figure that part out later.
Yeah.
I don't really understand. I mean, they ask questions, how much do your parents make? And what, I don't know how much my parents make.
Yeah, did you just make it up? You're just...
I mean, I think I probably asked. I don't even remember. I don't remember what was on that. But I just felt that was a huge differentiator.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least for me, I decided to go to an out-of-state school, which was probably more expensive than going in-state.
Why'd you decide to go to an out-of-state school?
For arbitrary reasons. My parents were getting divorced and I just didn't want to stay around them anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to live in LA because that would require having a car. Mm-hmm. At least that was what I was told.
Isn't it funny when you're young how you just don't have access to like the knowledge that would potentially set you up for success in the future?
Yeah.
You just make decisions because nobody else is helping you make the decisions.
Yeah. I would just, everything was a bit arbitrary. I want to go to a city that has good public transportation because I won't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
And if I lived in LA, I didn't know anyone in LA, so I was like, who's gonna drive me from the airport to this college? I mean, that didn't really happen for me. I guess I could have taken a taxi or something. But yeah. I just was like, LA isn't an option because apparently I have to have a car to get around.
Yeah.
But if I had stayed in state, there was a lot of support, financial support I would have gotten just because my parents were a little bit lower income.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of loans, money that was given to me. I don't think I just knew how to make the best decision based on that, or how much it meant, that how much money meant in when you're going to college, or the decision to pick a college.
I got so lucky. I got into two state schools and then one private school, and my mom is like, you're going to a state school. And I was, why? And my mom's like, you are going to a state school. So for undergrad, I went to a state school, and $5,000 a semester. It was cheap. So yeah. I graduated undergraduate with very little student loans. Yeah. I got super lucky. However, because I didn't have any student loans, I didn't realize what student loans were. So when I was applying for grad schools, I had no concept, just like you did. You had just had no concept of what impact this was going to have on the rest of your life.
This is kind of silly to say, but college, how they brand themselves is, oh, you'll go and everything, you'll change your life, and this is a really hard to get into school. Now that you've gotten into it, you have to go because we've rejected so many other people so that you can get into the school, and money can't be the one thing that stops you because you've worked so hard to get to this point.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, I deserve this. And so I don't care how much it costs. I deserve to get into this school because I worked so hard.
Yeah. I feel a lot of America is just based on a concept.
Our lives are just concepts.
Are just It's so true, though. If you think about it, the American setup, you must go to college, you must do these things. And yeah,
everyone's competitive with each other. And if you get into a state school, you have some fear that you might not have a job afterwards because you went to some school that wasn't Harvard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had that fear. I'm going to a state school. Mm-hmm. It hurt me. When I talk about that versus the private school, I feel mm-hmm. there's a total difference in how I'm like, oh yeah, I got that undergraduate from that place. Yeah. But my undergraduate, so much better than my private school. Oh my God, immensely better. The teachers were better. I didn't feel a lot of pressure. Yeah. I developed my voice there.
Yeah.
And then I went to grad school, which was supposed to be the place where you hone in and it's real interesting and you figure life out and you're going to be a real artist. I went to school for art. I think you also sort of went to school for...
I should have gone to school for art. I went to school for graphic design and it was not art.
No, but that's so much more tangible. Going to school for graphic design makes more sense for finding a job.
Well, the college that I went to was... So I was slightly practical.
Yeah.
Just ever so slightly. My college was known for their co-op program.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so I think, well, from my knowledge, there are two schools that have this co-op program or internship program.
Okay.
Drexel and Northeastern. Northeastern is the school I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And after your first, I think after sophomore year, you're required to go on a 6-month co-op, which is like an internship.
Oh.
And they set you up. You have a co-op counselor, an advisor, and they have connections to places,
mm-hmm.
local places that most of them actually were paying.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
So you could go to those programs for 6 months and then you would come back and you would go back to school. But the idea was that you go off. Part of education is also having that world experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you go off, you network, you do the job for 6 months, and then you also get paid, which is nice because you don't have to be like a poor student for the entire time.
Oh, wow.
But it made it actually into a 5-year school because you were doing 2 co-ops 6 months at a time. So I thought that sounded great. That's not just a typical private school experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can make you can network, you can get paid during that time, whatever. But I don't know. Things just kind of fell apart for me.
Why did it fall apart?
I don't know. It just seemed like every semester was harder to get. Well, first of all, it was the fact that my parents couldn't co-sign student loans. So I was like, okay, I literally do not know how to get money. So it was really asking. I think I asked 2 times my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I can't ask her anymore. I barely know this person.
Yeah.
And she's on the line for my student loans. And now I've accrued, you know, $100,000 at this
point. So it was $100,000. How long did you go for?
Yeah. I don't even remember at this point. I stayed full freshman year. That was the entire year. And then sophomore. And then we had this year called Midler year. That was that was like third year.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on a co-op for 6 months. I decided to go on an unpaid internship for some reason.
Even though you said you went there because you're, they'll pay me. Yeah. And then you chose to do the unpaid one.
Yeah, first of all, I wasn't loving graphic design. And I just, the idea of having to work on pamphlets at the Children's Discovery Museum for $15 an hour or whatever was just dreadful to me. Or like some corporate, like just working on letterheads or typesetting this and that. I just was like, this is so boring. That sounds terrible. And I had this opportunity at this arts and entertainment magazine. They always had these really fun illustrations on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I always really wanted to get into illustration or art, you know, hand-drawn medium stuff. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I ended up working. It was unpaid, but it was flexible too.
Yeah.
So I ended up also taking a server job so I can pay my rent
during that
time. So it was unpaid, but I didn't have to do it full time.
And so you went and you did this internship.
Yeah.
Is that, and then you left after the internship or?
Wow. I don't have any like memory of this.
It's totally fine. Most of that stuff is probably, you know, you're traumatized.
It was all a mess. I just remember it was just a hot mess. I think I tried to go back to school. I went into class and this is so embarrassing. I think, well, at the time it was so embarrassing and it's shameful, but I would go to class, pick my classes, and then I would get the bill, right, to put my money in for my invoice for the classes that I registered for.
Yeah.
But I knew where all my classes were because it was in a specific department.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew where I needed to go. So I would go to the classes and then my professors would do roll call and then my name wouldn't be on the list because I hadn't paid yet.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was like, people would be like, what's your name? And I'm like, I'm Alicia. And they'd be like, your name's not on the list. And I was like, I think I'm just going through something with like the administration. I should be in this class. I registered for this class. And they'd be like, okay. And like 2-3 classes in, they'd be like, you still have, your name is still not on the list. You can't be in this class.
Oh.
And I'd just be like, And I didn't know. I was like, oh, I'll figure. I was giving myself some time to figure out how I'm going to pay that money.
And so it was at that point you're just like,
I can't do this.
I can't do this.
Yeah. So I think I went back and tried to sneak myself into a few classes, and that plan fell apart. It wasn't a good plan to start with.
Pretty ballsy though. Like I like it.
I could have gotten away with it my freshman year, even though my freshman year it was paid for, mm-hmm. Because my classes were much larger and they were more general electives.
Yeah,
giant math classes, but. By the time I was getting into my third year, there were smaller, you know, darkroom photography classes.
Yeah.
And there was like 20 kids in the class, and I was just like, not in this class.
Yeah. I like that, though. I like that you just showed up.
Yeah, I was just, I hope that you don't notice that I'm not registered.
So
maybe I can get it for free.
So what happened after?
So then I just continued working as a server, and then I think I continued working as an intern at that magazine, because I was, well, it's education, but free. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting paid, but, you know, I can ask the right questions and, like, just, I can at least be involved in this career in some way. Yeah. And plus, it was just easy. The person I worked with was working with him, and we got along. So it just wasn't a high-pressure job at all.
Yeah.
I could come in whenever I wanted, and it was easy. But, yeah, I started working as a server, and I think what happened? I decided that at one point, there's a public art university in Boston called Mass Art.
Okay.
And because I have been living in Boston for 2 years at this point, I was a resident of Massachusetts. And so I was like, whoa, I could apply to the art school, the art school, which is what I wanted to do anyway. And it's a public art school, so my tuition would go way down.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is what I want to do anyway. I should just go to Mass Art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put together my application. I got reference letters from the art director that I was working with, the CD that I sometimes worked with. And so I got all these recommendations. I put everything together. And when I'm about to submit my application, there was a $50 like application fee. And I was, fuck, I don't have $50. I was living like paycheck to paycheck. Or not even paycheck to paycheck. Day by day, just whatever money I made that day, I was like, oh, great. This That's will go much- towards rent. Or this will go towards my meal for the day.
It's really been day to day.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's day to day. I was so broke. I remember I used to call my mom and be like, I don't have anything to eat today. And I think it would break her heart, but I was just, I don't know who else to talk to about it.
Yeah.
But I would just eat hummus and carrots. I was like, this will last me a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be thankful that at the restaurant, I at least would get one free meal a day. Like, so I would never starve.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I went into work, I could get a free meal.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's fine.
Yeah.
At least I don't have to worry about that. And sometimes I'll make $100 if it's a good night. I'll make $100, $200.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had to make $50 because I also waited last minute. It was really, everything was happening very quickly. I got everything together and then I had to come up with $50 for this application fee because by the end of the week or something, maybe it was a Wednesday and I had to submit it by Friday or something, but I only had lunch shifts that week.
Ugh.
And so I was like, fuck. And Friday is usually the day that I can make money, but the application was due on Friday, and I knew that if I worked a dinner shift...
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to get in on Friday.
Exactly. So I was, okay, I only have, like, 2 lunch shifts, and I don't make any money during lunch shifts. And I was like, fuck. And so I like, contacted all my people that I worked with, and I was like, hey, can I switch dinner shift? Can I switch dinner shift? And maybe I didn't ask hard enough, but I needed a dinner shift, and no one was like, oh, I don't want to give you my dinner shift. And so I was like, fuck, I'm stuck with these 2 lunch shifts. So I go into these lunch shifts. I make like $10, $20 for each shift.
Mm.
And I did not make $50. And I mean, I don't know how hard I was trying. But I was like, if I make $50, I'll submit my application.
Yeah, you were kind of let luck. Like, if luck gives it to me, I'll do it.
Exactly. At this point, I was also just frustrated. I was already not looking forward to the fact that I was going to figure out how to pay tuition at
another get. Because it was already traumatic for you.
Yeah, I was like, I'm still going to have to figure out this out. But maybe I'll just put my application in. And give myself some time.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't come up with $50 that week, so I didn't end up submitting my application. And I was like, wow, this sucks. I'm just like... And then it hit me that I was going to be a college dropout.
Because
I was like, I'm not going to figure this out. And so, after a few traumatic years, my mom was like, you should move back to California and live with me for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
just to reset yourself, because I was just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna work as a server the rest of my life.
Yeah,
I was really lucky at the time because my rent wasn't too much. It was $500.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was really lucky. But the people who I was renting it from, got it at a really low rate. It was a 4-bedroom mm-hmm. apartment, and they got it at a low rate, but the landlord was like, we're going to raise the rate after that year. Mm. So I was, I can't live here anymore, and I'm not going to find a $500
yeah.
a place that I can get for $500 in Boston.
Yeah.
So I was like, ugh, and everything just fell apart, and I was like, I'm just going to give up. But at the time, it felt like giving up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then I moved back here. And okay. I had a few months where I didn't have to worry about rent, which was, I can't believe that that's such a huge, like, amount of pressure to just figure out rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the first time you felt relief.
Yeah.
When you moved back.
Yeah. I just was like, oh, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
And I could just eat and sleep and not have to worry about living.
I know.
Yeah.
You were just living in a constant state of stress. So that entire time you were doing that, you were just pretending you didn't have student loans.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even worry about that. Yeah. I literally have to worry about how I'm going to pay rent on a day-to-day basis or what I'm going to eat that day. So yeah, I just was like, I can't think about this. I just rejected the idea of it. Mm-hmm. But so I moved back to San Jose, where my mom is. Mm-hmm. She even put out the money for my one-way ticket back.
Aww.
And it was just those little things meant everything to me because it felt, it was at a time when I felt like I couldn't afford anything. Even if I wanted to leave, I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Or even if I, yeah, even if I wanted to quit, I couldn't quit. Those just weren't options. So I felt so thankful that she would be, she was just like, here is a $200 ticket back to San Jose. You can stay at my place. But I felt guilty the entire time. So I was really working at finding something. Mm-hmm. And so I found this ad on Craigslist. It was $20 per illustration or something like that.
Okay.
For these like digital greeting cards. Oh. Kind of paperless posts.
Yeah.
But it was some knockoff version of that. And they're like, we will give you $20 per illustration. I was like, that's amazing. $20. And if I do 5 a day, I can make $100. And I was like, that's so much money. Now that's a fucking ripoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that, which was, I felt I was killing it. Mm-hmm. And I could just work from a coffee shop and I could just do 5 illustrations a day and make $100. And that was at least 3 months into just coming back. But I think there was a constant pressure to even have to do something because I felt guilty the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
So even though my mom was, you don't have to do anything. You can just stay here and relax. And I'm like, no, I feel like I have to continue pursuing my career.
Yeah.
Because I had this a lot of pressure about being a dropout. And if I don't push myself or if I don't stress out about this, I will just become a dropout or in terms of just not having anything. And then I was on, for some reason, I was looking for jobs on Craigslist a lot. So that was the only way I knew how to look for jobs.
Yeah.
Before LinkedIn, probably. And before I would do those illustration jobs here and there. And then at that time, I think actually one of those talent agencies.
Oh, yeah.
Had reached out to me through LinkedIn or something. And it was, hey, there's a hip new company, startup, looking for a junior designer. And I had done a lot of infographics at the time. A lot of my portfolio was just infographic heavy because one of the last classes I took at Northeastern was an information design class that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And so I just had, that's the only work I really put up on my portfolio.
I remember those times. I made so many infographics. Right. Apparently one night when I was working for the mayor's office and I had been making a bunch of infographics, I apparently said in my sleep, do you need an infographic? I will make you an infographic. And I woke up my then husband, now ex-husband, shaking him, saying that I would make him an infographic. He was like, yeah, you shook me awake saying you would make me an infographic.
Oh, man. I don't even hear the word infographic today anymore. Who even makes an infographic?
It's not a thing anymore.
Very popular at the time.
It was so popular. Everything was an infographic.
Yeah. Everything was, and everyone always wanted an infographic.
Yeah.
Anyway, that actually helped me because it was a very good thing to put in my portfolio, even though as a graphic designer, it wasn't anything to be proud of. For graphic designers, it was better to have books and covers and layouts that you've done and all that posters and paper shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I put out infographics. So I was like, this is the only thing I'm doing in college.
Yeah.
And that was what everyone wanted at the time. So I got super lucky.
Yeah.
And so, I got this talent agent person being like, hey, we have this hip company startup that is looking for a junior designer to just do a bunch of infographics. And I was like, perfect. That sounds like the perfect job. I love infographics. It was like an infographic a week.
Yeah.
Oh, so I think the job was another contract to hire job. And I took it because I was like, I'll take any opportunity I'm thankful for anything. I'm a dropout. I'm not going to talk about the fact that I'm a dropout, but yeah. I'm super thankful about any job that I get at that time. And I have to pay all these loans back. So I have to find a job.
So you realized you needed to pay it back when you came back to San Francisco. What point did you realize?
Oh, I mean, I knew I needed to pay it back even when I was in Boston. I was like getting phone calls being like, you need to pay this shit back. I mean, frankly, I just needed to talk to someone and be like, this is my situation. Yeah. And I feel like they would have been more lenient about it, but I was just ignoring their phone calls.
Yeah.
So can you just tell us what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
So I did at some point. I was, hey, I'm not in Boston anymore. I'm back in San Francisco. I just like don't have a job. I don't know how to pay back. And they're like, okay, we'll give you like some time. So some of them were nice. And they were like, what can you pay $50 a month? You know, I feel like that's probably the tactics that they use. But
yeah.
Instead of $300, can you pay $50? And I'd be like, okay, fine. I'll try to pay $50 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I sort of started to start slowly paying it back.
And so that happened right when you got back to California?
I was working at that contract to hire job. I felt a little bit more comfortable even just talking to someone about it. Because I felt like, oh, I'm on the up and up. I was just happy that I had a job in design.
Yeah.
Or even just an office job. I was, oh, I have a 9-to-5. This is awesome. This is exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I think everyone else is doing after graduating school. I dropped out and I'm still doing the same thing. So
that's what I like love sort of about your story is that you are still doing it. I know school can be important, but it just the ratio between all the pain and suffering that you get from having a student loan.
Yeah.
And then balanced out with you probably could have gotten a job without it.
I sort of regret ever really going to college. I should have gone to like community college or I think I needed some time to figure out what I wanted to do, too. Had I known the minute I was admitted to college that I would just start accruing all this debt that I needed to pay back, I would have just had to figure it out.
In general, it's just hard to get paid. So you took out all this money in student loans, and it's you just keep going through the company. So you're like, oh, my God, it is so hard to get paid.
Oh, like, and I think another thing that started to frustrate me as I was working with all these people was that, okay, we might all earn the same amount, but you don't owe any student loans, and I do, and half of my paycheck goes to student loans. Half of your paycheck goes to food or going out or clothes or whatever. I still felt I was living paycheck to paycheck, despite the fact that I was earning more.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it hit me that people who owe student loans and people who don't owe student loans, there's such a huge life. Your lives are different. You start your lives differently.
Yeah, you're
very traumatizing. I feel like at such a young age when, you know, lawyers calling you being like, you owe this money, you owe $110,000 to this school. I'm I'm 21 years old. I don't know how I'm going to get that money.
It's huge. It's a huge amount of money. Yeah, you could buy a house in some parts of the country with that.
Oh, I have $10 in my bank right now. Is that a good start?
I could give you a penny. Maybe.
But it's funny because I think it's just, I think for most people, they don't feel trapped by their decisions and it just feels like this heavy burden. And I think it started with my student loans.
I think it started with my student loans as well. Yeah. If you could do anything different, what would you do?
First of all, I would have gone to community college mm-hmm. for a few years just to get my general ed classes out of the way. And I think I know myself a little bit better now than I used to. I thought I would feel better about majoring in graphic design because then it meant I had a job at the end of the tunnel
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, I could monetize it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now I would have just tried to take a more experimental route because I think I don't thrive in environments where I'm not allowed to, where it's just churn.
Yeah, you like play and experiment.
I don't think, yeah, and I don't feel good about, I think part of the most stressful thing about being a graphic designer in tech is that I just don't really feel like I'm doing my best work, and that feels sad to me. What is my life then? And I think deep down, I know I'm a creative person. That's how I've been my entire life, and I think I've compromised that for money. And that's what makes me the most upset, that I'm willing to compromise these things that I've always been, and that it's pretty much the only thing that I've truly known about myself is that I'm a creative person, and I'll take the money for it, you know? That feels really gross to me. I'm like, oh, what person have I become that I'm willing to have ulcers and have a bald spot in my head and be this stressed out because money?
Because of money, yeah.
And that feels shitty.
I feel very similar to you, though. I feel like I've given up so much of who I fundamentally am for money, and I just feel like a sellout. I feel like I compromised all of my values for money.
Yeah.
just so that I can, and it's not money so I can have money. That's the worst part. It's not, I'm not covering my values so I personally can be rich and have money. It's so that I can get money so I can get out of debt.
Yeah. That is really sad. That is really the cherry on top of it. It's just, it's not even for me. It's for the government or it's for these banks. Like, it's, I don't even get anything out of this. And so if there is anything that I could do to change anything, it would be to avoid being in debt at all costs. And if that meant taking the slower route to figure out what my career was, or I mean, I think even the idea of a career is arbitrary.
I do too.
I think I would have just taken my time and been like, at least I'm debt free.
Yeah.
Even if it meant that I was working at a McDonald's, but I wasn't debt free and I could still pay my rent. Whatever it is, I just would have rather have that route where I'm just taking my time free, but at least have the emotional space and not be so stressed out at such a young age.
Yes.
It's not normal.
No, it is normal now.
It is normal now, but I feel like it's just not, I mean,
it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable, but it feels you have to sustain it because figure out ways to cope with it, which is just, I don't know. The idea that I have to cope with that is just, it's really depressing. And then I'm like, just the idea that I have to cope with the depression of my day-to-day, my day job is depressing.
Yeah. I agree.
The fact that I have to meditate to just get through a week is depressing. Why am I in a meeting having to calm myself down?
Yeah.
Why am I getting so stressed out about this?
Yeah, I have to push pressure points. I do acupuncture. I have to do so many things.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking. I really appreciate it. I feel like I know so much more about you now, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Matter of Life and Debt is produced by me, Nikki Nolan. Special thanks to F.A. Achman for creating the music and mastering the audio. Additional support and thanks to Emma Klauber, who writes the information and transcripts about each episode. This podcast would not be possible without them. Visit our website for more information, matteroflifeanddebt.com, where you can listen, read transcripts, get additional context of the subjects you just heard about, subscribe absolutely for free. That website again, matteroflifeanddebt.com. Thanks again for listening.